We have very short memories. We don't often learn from history, and that includes scriptural history. Decades after the people of Israel left Egypt, they forgot what the Lord God had done for them. Perhaps the phrase, "What have you done for me lately?" applies here. In today's reading, we learn that the Israelite people, approximately 2 months, made the promise to Moses earlier that all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So shortly after their assurances to Moses, Moses walks up the mountain and stays there for 40 days and 40 nights. His brother Aaron remains with the people. During those 40 days, God is teaching Moses many things and imparting additional instructions to him, and then gives him two tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments were written, as Scripture tells us, with the finger of God. During the time that Moses is up on the mountain, the people grow anxious because he's not with them. In their uncertainty about their present situation, as well as their future, they feel adrift, lost. You can picture the people. You can picture them in that sparse land, scrounging for food and living in tents. Now, I have not camped out in years. The older I got, the less attractive sleeping on a mat on the ground appealed to me. The notable American Jewish humorist Dave Barry, in his 2017 book, For This We Left Egypt, A Passover Haggadah for Jews and Those Who Love Them, wrote about the Jewish situation we are talking about in today's scripture. He writes, "Moses and the Israelites came to a mountain called Mount Sinai, which was also known as Mount Horeb. There they made camp, which is hard because Jews are not into camping. The Jewish idea of roughing it is a hotel where the breakfast buffet does not have an omelet station." Back to scripture. Well, the people felt they needed relief, so to soothe themselves, they go to Aaron, asking for something tangible in order to give them some security and some comfort. What they chose was a thing they could see and touch, a figurine made of gold. Aaron, also anxious and unsure in this arid desert land, takes their gold, forms it into a mold, casts an image of a calf, builds an altar, and then worships this man-made statue. Then Aaron and the people have a party in honor of this golden god calf. While the festivity is taking place, Moses walks down from the mountain, hears and sees the people celebrating before an idol. He is so upset, so angry, he breaks the law tablets he received from God. By the way, what is written is an interesting footnote showing the enduring folly of human nature. After Moses broke the tablets in his rage over the golden calf, he, amazed at Aaron's defection from the Lord God to an idol, asks Aaron this question: "What did these people do to you that you have brought so great a sin on them?" Aaron, wanting to evade all responsibility on himself, attempts to have Moses agree with him by saying, "You know people, they're bent on evil." To further remove himself from fault, Aaron invents this incredible story that he tells Moses. "I threw the gold they gave me into the fire, and out came this calf." You can picture the eye roll and the head tilt that Moses gave Aaron when Aaron stated he had nothing to do with the golden calf. In fact, this calf all by itself emerged from the fire. I suppose that even now in the year 2020, we are like Aaron. We continue to try to avoid responsibility. In addition, we also continue to confer superpowers to gold. So why doesn't Aaron stand up to the people? Why does he unite with them as they are craving for something material and substantial and visible, rather than trust in the never-seen nebulous God of fire and smoke and clouds? This God who they felt most probably had deserted them. It is clear that Aaron and all of them desperately wanted something they could see and hold on to. Can we empathize with them? While they were in that desolate place, which was almost inhospitable to them, while they felt so much distress. Moses was away up on a mountain. They were down below in a very rocky, mostly desert, arid land. They were worried. They were afraid. They wanted something they could see and something they could touch. Are they any different than us? I believe in God the Father, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You believe in God the Father, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But isn't it easier to rely on what we can touch and look at and use? We can see and consume a Jimmy John sandwich, a Friday fish fry, a quarter pound burger. They are real. And God may not be as real to some people as food is. The Israelites in a foreign land wanted comfort. They wanted assurance. And there is a connection between the Israelite people who ate and drank and partied with the calf of gold and us, even though they are not different from us, even though the idols we surround ourselves with are not the same. But there is a connection. When we create or make or adopt an idol, we do so in part because the idols we embrace don't pressure us. They don't oblige us to do anything. We are not compelled to live in a certain way, either in relationship, in society, morally. The ancient Israelites sometimes found it hard to obey the Ten Commandments. They felt that the Lord God was placing a burden on them. When Moses understood that God's desire is to show them how to live a life of peace and happiness within themselves and with each other, instead of strife and conflict, the people did not realize it. Instead, when the Israelites made their golden calf, they wanted an idol which did not impose any requirements on them. They wanted to be free of the obligations which the Lord God had instructed them. They wanted to be free to live their lives just as they were or thought they were when they were living in Egypt, even though they were in slavery at that time. They had forgotten, perhaps conveniently, that just 2 months earlier, they had responded to Moses' God-given instructions, saying, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." What about us? We are now 3,000 to 4,000 or more years later in time. We no longer live in the Bronze and Iron Age. We live in the age of smartphones and internet. We who are baptized in Jesus' name, we who loudly proclaim, "In God we trust," do we promise that all the words that the Lord God has spoken, we will do? As we follow Jesus, we listen to him tell us that he has come to fulfill the laws of the Torah, the teachings of the Torah, to complete the Ten Commandments. And Jesus is clear that he's not doing away with God's instructions and teachings as recorded in the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all the prophets. When Jesus announces that he is not abolishing the law but fulfilling it, what he is saying is that the basic teachings of Moses and the prophets have always been and will always be what God expects of us. After Jesus' resurrection, St. Paul repeated what the Torah teaches and what Jesus in the Gospel declared to be the correct reading of God's instructions to us when Paul wrote in chapter 5 in his letter to the Galatians, "For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You and I know it is tiring to love all of our neighbors equally. There are those who seem tough to love. In Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, one group wanted to stone him. And we, of course, know that later he was crucified on a cross. St. Paul in his travels also met many hate-filled people. In fact, we learn in the book of Acts in chapter 14, verse 19, that some stoned him, but for some reason, he survived their attempt to kill him. Nonetheless, St. Paul strove to prevail over all prevail over all of those murderous individuals as he lived a life worthy of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul went far beyond the Ten Commandments to the new spirit taught by Jesus the Christ. Therefore, in his same letter to the Galatians, St. Paul proclaims that we are to live in God's Holy Spirit, in love, in joy, in peace, in patience, in kindness, and generosity, in faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, Jesus has fulfilled the instructions of God as to how we shall live in union with God and neighbor. When we have the spirit of generosity, we share what we possess. If we do not, then we live selfishly. Why? Because what we have, what we own, becomes an idol for us. Another example, if we don't live in God's spirit of love, then we live in apathy, where we don't care about others. Sarah Miles noted, "There's no way to be a Christian at home by yourself." But we can go further, because if we don't live in love, we might live in hate, and where the result is intentional or unintentional harm to others. Why? Because then we create ourselves as our own idol. You can take each of the virtues of the Spirit which St. Paul listed for us and do the same. List what are the opposite and living those virtues. When we live the fruit of the Spirit, we continually find that what we're doing is we're offering of ourselves to God and to neighbor. When we do not live them, we then discover that we create personal idols, so we don't have to give of ourselves, so we can keep our hearts and what we own to ourselves and not share them, and so we can keep our souls to ourselves and not share our souls with God. When we hear today's scripture reading from the book of Exodus, we possibly wonder how that ancient, but God-inspired story can apply to us in 2020. But Holy Spirit-inspired scripture continually offers us insight into our interactions with the divine and with each other. Why? Because we are as human as the people were in those times, and that's why those God-inspired stories endure. Perhaps today, Sunday, October 11, we may feel unmoored, adrift, anxious, uncertain. We may be tempted to want to comfort ourselves first rather than offer relief and solace to our neighbor. We may feel that God the Father and Jesus and His Holy Spirit have abandoned us, just as the ancient Israelites felt deserted by God. But God is present. We know it is often difficult to live the virtuous life Jesus teaches. Yet we must realize that because we are created by God, He knows, God knows what will give us pure joy and unlimited happiness and ultimate peace. With our God-given will, we have free choices to make. We can be like the Israelites, who, betraying the promises they made to the Lord God, made their own idol and then drank and ate and partied and worshiped before it. We can even be like Aaron in today's reading, who blamed others even though he was the one who caved in and made up this bizarre story about a golden calf emerging from a fire by itself. Or we can live in God's Holy Spirit. And in God's Holy Spirit, we can then live in patience, kindness, generosity. We can live in faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We can live in love and joy and peace. Let us pray. Lord, our God, our Father, You have created us so we may choose to be the one with You and to live in joy in the everyday rhythm of life. You have given us guidance, instructions on how to live a life of happiness. Yet for thousands of years, as we continue to choose our own goals and create our own idols, we often find ourselves depressed and sad. You sent your Son Jesus to teach us how to live a blessed life. So, Lord, Father, we pray we be open to your Holy Spirit in order to understand and accept that what your Son Jesus taught us will lead us to live a fulfilled life. May we follow in Jesus' footsteps to live in blessed union with you. Hear us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.